Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
5 o'clock. Great to have you with us. Let me give you a programming note. If you want to hear the latest and greatest about the war on the college football playoff, the Big Ten side, the SEC side, Odyssey.com Rewind did about 2 hours on it. Really good feedback from you guys. We also got into who the Tigers are heavily interested in the division, in the trade market. What we want to do now is the breaking news, and no siren needed. TJ Watt got his money. Wow. 3 years and $124 million with essentially all of it guaranteed. It's like 108 or 110 guaranteed.
108 guaranteed. Yes. So
just say fully guaranteed at this point. Average AAV of $41 million. He is the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, and he is now the third edge rush slash defensive end making north of $40 million in the National Football League. So here's the question, and I don't have the answer. I don't know what right and wrong is. I'm asking, do these contracts being handed out to defensive ends give you more or less urgency to get Aiden's deal done? Because, look, I can only tell you if I repped Aiden as a guy Aiden's what, 25 or 26 tops, you know, young, elite production when healthy. The injury you can't hold against him. It was a weird thing last year.
Right.
I'm not TJ Watt. I'm not Miles Garrett. I'm not 29, 30, 31. I'm young. My best football is still ahead of me. I'm asking for $45 million a year. If I'm Aiden and his representatives, I'm asking for $4 at $180. Fully guaranteed. And if you want to quibble and offer me 165 guaranteed, fine, keep the change. But it's $4 at $180. That's what I'm asking for. So my question is, do these deals getting done make you want to sign him more? Or do you say, you know what? No. If anything, the price going up makes me want him to prove more. I don't know what the answer
no,
is.
No. It's a great question, Mike. Because here's the funny thing about it. Just a couple years ago, Nick Bosa signed a deal, and it was like, wow, Nick Bosa signed this deal. He's averaging $34 million.
Oh, he poor now.
Right now, he's out there with a hat and a cardboard, one of those sandwich signs.
He's
saying,
Billy Ray Valentine.
Put money in the cup, please help a brother out. Yeah, because now he's the fifth highest defensive edge.
Yes.
If you're Aiden, I don't know, because I guess you go in with a ridiculous price. But if you're the Lions, yeah, I would try to lock him up as soon as possible. But then the Lions also have the quandary of how healthy is he coming back from the injury? And I guess I know he'll be fine. But realistically speaking, horrific injury. Well, now, it was a clean break.
Yeah.
You got to hope that he comes back with everything that he left with.
Here's the other thing. I'll support your point, because here's what I think is going to happen. And I think it's going to be a real problem. I think you need to use Micah Parsons as the line of delineation. If you don't get this thing done before Micah Parsons, I think you're going to end up paying north of $200 million. The Cowboys are anything but a smart organization. Parsons' representatives are seeking $200. If Parsons gets his deal, there is absolutely no reason for Aiden or his reps to take a penny less. So it starts to get a little bit crazy, because then you start to think of, okay, now I'm adding a fifth year to this. Now I'm talking about essentially I'm paying Aiden Hutchinson as a second version of Jared Goff. I have two quarterbacks on my roster. Now, I'm okay with this. But here's the issue. The Lions are high on their own supply, meaning they love their own players. I think they've paid too many of them, including now. There is no reason for Kirby Joseph to be the highest paid safety in the history of the sport. There's no reason.
Right.
He's a nice player. The turnovers, a lot of that is inconsistent. And frankly, the prior two seasons, he was outside the top 30 in coverage grade for the position. I'm just using an example. I'm not doing this as slander because I like Kirby Joseph.
Right, right.
But it's, guys, what do you want to do here? Because it's kind of getting to, for lack of a better term, nut cutting time. Because you're going to have to figure out how deep is your love. 41 mil for Watt, you ain't going to get Aiden for less than 42. And if Micah Parsons signs first, I'm telling you, you're pushing that 45 a year.
Here's what I'm doing if I'm the Lions. If I'm Brad Holmes, if everything goes as planned, if everything does exactly what I think it's going to do, Mike, come Thanksgiving Day, we're going to announce before the game, Aiden got his extension. Because now I got a body of work. He's shown me, you know what, there's no lingering effect to the leg breaking of his leg. Yeah, that's going to be my guy. He's going to be locked and part of my defense for a long time. And by Thanksgiving Day, you're going to get the Ian Rappaport and all those people saying, hey, Lions just signed Aiden Hutchinson to an extension. Because at that point, I will know, yep, he's exactly what we thought he's going to be. He's healed up perfectly. Let's lock him up. If you're Aiden Hutchinson, man, you're almost better betting on yourself because you're right. Why would I sign this deal? Let me see what Micah Parsons is going to sign for, because then we're going to be looking at this TJ Watt deal like, wow, TJ only got $41 million. Because here's the funny thing about it. Max Crosby, $35 million, Mike. That's it. Like for a while, I was like, wow, Max signed this big deal. Not anymore.
And look, maybe this is a sign people don't give a damn. It's not their money. They don't care. So be it. The hell, I don't care, to be honest with you, as long as the player's here. It's just, I'm trying to use it as a point of reference because it's not going to go backwards. And I think the only player that would be in Aiden's classification in age, production, potential, it's Micah Parsons. And if he goes out and the Cowboys do what the Cowboys do best, remember, the Cowboys are the organization that paid Dak Prescott, you know, $7 billion, right? If they do that with Micah, it artificially changes the marketplace. And Aiden's reps have every right to say, he got that, we want that plus a penny. And it creates a really difficult spot. So you're not, Rico's not wrong, guys. Waiting is probably the best thing to just go earn it. Go do more.
And I was not even waiting the entire year.
But I don't know that you'll be afforded that.
But if I'm Brad Holmes and I see over the first 8 games that it's business as usual, I'm on the phone with his agent and maybe we take him to $42 million and all right, we'll give you 80% of it up front.
David, Kenny, what do you guys have to say about it?
Real quick, I am curious, just a sidebar. David, is this good news for you?
Yeah, this is great news. Making him a Steeler for life, basically, because he's 30 years old. This would probably be his last big deal. Yeah, I'm excited. It is a lot of money.
You're excited about going 9-8 in perpetuity?
Look. You know what?
You're excited about paying a guy $42 million a year to not make the playoffs?
You know what? It is what it is at this point. I know what I have. I know,
but I'm not going to let you get up on this microphone and lie.
I know what I have, man. And as long as I have him getting sacks on the other side while we only win 7 games, it is what it is. Now, on the Lions side of it, when it comes to Aiden Hutchinson, while you mentioned Micah Parsons, you also have to remember Trey Hendrickson is out there. That would also raise the price because he wants a new deal gets it.
No, it won't because he's in his 30s. There's only one player.
But so is T.J. Watt. So he can look at T.J. Watt getting the deal as he was just the NFL leader in sacks and say, well, why not me?
Right. But see, David, I think that this so much says that he won't be playing as a Bengal because they're like, yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's true. They ain't paying that.
What does that say above the door, the sign above the door? Cincinnati Bengals. You know what that means? That's French for we're cheap.
But yes, it is a tough situation because I'm kind of like both of you guys. I'm like, I don't really know what to do. Do you wait and then the price? Because you know the Cowboys are going to do Cowboy things.
That's
and
right.
Pay him not just $42 million per year. It may be $43, $44 because that's what they do. So I don't know if I would pay him right now. I think I would wait.
Well, I'd like to say I apologize to all of you guys. Apparently, this was a bad topic idea. 248-539-9797. Not a bad topic idea.
Not a bad idea. No, not at all.
Everything worked today except the thing that involved Aiden Hutchinson and the NFL. Very bizarre to me.
Because I think people are still...
Maybe we should go to the pretzel jar.
So I mentioned there was good news for the Lions. That's a Tate Ratledge signing. There's bad news for the Lions. That's that Levi Onwuzurike is on the reserve PUP list, which means he's got to miss the first 4 weeks of the season. And we don't know what's going on there. Hope for nothing but the best and hope it's nothing serious for Levi Onwuzurike. And then there was another category where I said there's something that down the road might be real trouble for the Lions. And that is this. The TJ Watt signed a 3-year, $123 million extension to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it breaks down that Spotrac has tweeted out what the contract is. It's $108 million fully guaranteed, which is the most fully guaranteed money in a contract for a non-quarterback, surpassing that of, I believe it's Jamar Chase. He'll be paid a total of $44 million this upcoming season. And I think that's because but his cap hit is only $23.3 million, but that's what he's going to get paid right away. Next year, $42 million, 2027, $42 million cap hit, and 2028 will be a $46 million cap hit. It's extraordinary, but for one of the league's best players, you understand it. So you're talking roughly $41 million a year. Why does this matter? Well, because the Lions still haven't come to terms with Aiden Hutchinson on an extension. They're expected to do so. We don't know when. We've been speculating on this for a long time now. People thought that they were going to get something done immediately after the season. Didn't happen. We thought, hey, maybe they'll get this done before the draft or right around the draft. Because remember the year ago, when they had the announcement of all those contract signings, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, and then they gave Jared Goff the contract, Ali McNeil, all these guys, they gave contracts right around the draft from 2024. Maybe that's going to happen this time. Draft came and went. There was not the big extension for Aiden Hutchinson. Then we get into the offseason in the late spring into the summer here, and all this tumult, if you will, with the defensive ends. We didn't know what was going to happen with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett signed his deal for $40 million, setting the market. Then you had what was going to happen with some other players like Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or TJ Watt or Micah Parsons. Well, all those guys have signed now with the exception of Micah Parsons and Aiden Hutchinson. And the thought was you want to sign Aiden as quickly as possible because the prices for the defensive end, the pass rushers, the edge rushers, it's going to go through the roof. Well, they haven't signed Aiden Hutchinson yet. And I love the question that Jim Costa asked in the morning show several weeks ago, maybe even over a month ago, where Jim had asked the question, goes, hey, the Lions haven't gotten anything done with Aiden Hutchinson yet. Is that on the Lions or is that on Aiden or what's going on there? And the more I thought about it, at that time, I was thinking it's probably on Hutchinson. I imagine the Lions want to get something done. But if you're Aiden Hutchinson, you shouldn't be in any hurry because you've got all these other edge rushers that have yet to sign their deals. Now, in the meantime, you've got the market set. Was set with Myles Garrett. Now it's reset with TJ Watt. Hendrickson still doesn't have his deal. Micah Parsons is smiling because he knows he's going to get paid because he's going into his fifth year. And they did pick, the Cowboys picked up the option, but they haven't signed him long term yet, and he knows that they will. And Micah Parsons is likely to get north of what TJ Watt got. So the tough news for the Lions is they still haven't gotten a deal done with Aiden Hutchinson, which means Aiden Hutchinson is likely to get a deal similar to that of Micah Parsons, which is likely to eclipse what TJ Watt got, which means you're going to pay over $41 million a year for an edge rusher. Now, what that might do is effectively close the book on anybody's dream that the Lions could sign both Hutchinson and, say, Trey Hendrickson. I've been trying hard to find a way to make that work. You guys know, if you listen to the show, how much I would love to see that happen. And that, yes, I think you could do that and have a window where you keep everybody together for a couple of years. But then down the road, you're going to have to lose some players because of it. Well, now I think this might eliminate that altogether because you haven't paid Aiden Hutchinson yet. And if he's going to get, say, $42, $43 million a year, then that shrinks the number that you could give to, say, Trey Hendrickson on an extension. Is it possible that you can get Trey Hendrickson to come on board here, swing a trade with Cincinnati, give him whatever. Let's say you give him a first-round pick to get Hendrickson and then give Hendrickson a two-year contract at $80 million, $40 million a year. Can he make that work? Or $70 million, make it $35 million a year? Can he make that work? I don't know if that can work anymore because of the cap ramifications in year two. And I don't think that Trey Hendrickson wants to sign a two-year extension either. I think he's looking to get at least a three-year extension. And now that TJ Watt's got his three-year extension at 40, not that Hendrickson would be asking for 40, but I got to believe he's asking for at least 35. So I think that's now a pipe dream. And maybe it was always a pipe dream, but I kept open just a little bit of hope because I thought you could get it done, even though down the road you may have to lose someone like Jahmyr Gibbs or Sam Laporta or both in a couple of seasons to make that work. So that's the other side now. Is the impetus on the Lions to get a deal done with Aiden Hutchinson, has that just ramped up now because of the TJ Watt signing? Is Aiden Hutchinson going to cost more than TJ Watt? I mean, he's like 7 years younger or whatever he is. Aiden's really young. And he's coming off a season, yes, where he broke his leg. But prior to that, he had 7.5 sacks and 45 pressures through 5 games. It was insane, the production that he was putting up to start last year. So I think this is going to be a real tough swallow for the Lions because they haven't gotten this deal done yet. And Aiden Hutchinson is probably smiling ear to ear because he knows he's going to get taken care of. He knows he's going to get paid by the Lions. The question is, how high is that price going to go? And it's going to go at least what TJ Watt got. Now, do the Lions need to get something done before Micah Parsons gets his deal? If I were the Lions, I'd try everything in my power to get it done because I think Micah Parsons is going to get paid way more. He's shown more productivity in his career as being a quarterback sack artist. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number if you have some of those same concerns. We got some more texts coming in regarding the concern level you have or the confidence level you have with the Lions offense. It's really the confidence level. On a scale of 1 to 12, where's your confidence with this team offensively? Ticket texter is saying, and this is from Mav, I'm a 9 as well. I'm thinking this doubt is a positive. Give this team a reason to have a chip again, a chip on the shoulder. They play their best when they have something to prove. Have a good weekend. Yeah, they do play well when they have a chip on their shoulder. There's no question about that. But does that come from, I guess, you know, Graham Glasgow is definitely a veteran player, and he's going to hear the whispers. Will he play better with a chip on his shoulder? Mahogany's got a lot to prove. I think he was a 6th-round pick, though, and yet he's got an opportunity to start here. And then you've got Ratledge, and we'll see how Ratledge is wired. My level is 7. The caller just said 7. That's crazy. Or he said 7. The caller just said 7. That's crazy. Jared Goff still behind center and all the weapons at his disposal. I don't think anybody should say anything lower than 9. Well, I think the reason people would say lower than 9 is because you've got a brand new interior to that offensive line and you're not sure what to expect with the new offensive coordinator. I'm not as worried about the coordinator part, but I am concerned when it comes to the offensive line. It's a new interior. You're bringing in 3 guys to start and expecting them to play the whole season, or hopefully the whole season. You can't account for injuries, but you're hoping they play the whole season. But these are three guys that would be kind of new to it. I mean, Glasgow's got the experience, but the other two guys, not as much. I think the Lions and Levi Onwuzurike might have known about the injury that he has. That's why he only signed a cheap one-year deal when he could have left for a better contract. Just a theory. That's from Jamie. Well, I don't know if he could have signed for a better contract. He didn't. Came back to the Lions for the 1 year and $4 million. And if you were another team in the league, I mean, what kind of a deal would you have given Levi Onwuzurike after his, you know, first few years in the league with the Lions? Because he wasn't terribly productive. He's got potential for sure. He's always had potential. But he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and he hasn't been terribly productive. Yes, he gets some pressures on the quarterback, but wasn't taking the quarterback down. So I don't know if there were other offers that he could have had that were going to pay him more elsewhere. And maybe this was a hometown discount to come and stay with the Detroit Lions, a team he knows, also is going to contend for a Super Bowl, so wants to stay there. Sure, I think that's part of it. But I don't know if he would have gotten a great deal elsewhere. And I don't know if the Lions knew about this. We don't even know what it is. That's the thing, is they haven't said anything. All we know is he's on the reserve physically unable to perform list, the reserve PUP list, which means he's going to miss the first four games of the regular season. Does that scream red flags for you? Because that's another defensive lineman that's not going to start the year, and they're starting to add up, and I'm getting a little concerned with this. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Hey, there's going to be kind of a radical change in an all-star game coming up, and we wonder if this is going to spur other radical changes in other games. We'll talk about that with you next year in 97.1, The Ticket.
If you're just joining, we are in a quarterback symposium. Oh, it's the slowest week of the year. To hell with that. ESPN's got a top 10 list, according to executives, scouts. So we said, you know what? Let's put our spin on it. And I gave some criteria. And we as a show, Rico, David, Kenny, have kind of subscribed to it. And it's the theory of, when you begin this, identify the guys that are just above it all. There's no debate about their presence on the list, and in fact, it's going to be real hard to crack that number. We have four quarterbacks. We have since added three players. Now, we can debate those players. That's where you guys play the biggest role today. If you have an issue that is a part of the top 10, we have not ranked the 10, but as a part of the 10, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Matthew Stafford, we are now voting on Justin Herbert. And then we're going to get where I do think a lot of you will call, naturally. It's your guy. What do we do with Jared Goff? And remember, the criteria are the following. How much of the success is due to them driving the bus or being driven by the supporting cast? Can you win a Super Bowl with them? Ask yourself that question. And the last piece is the BPA quotient, big playability. The elite quarterbacks break defenses. We've all seen it. Patrick Mahomes, three guys hanging on him, throwing it late across the middle with that zany arm talent, or escaping down the sidelines as the least athletic-looking human on the planet. But boy, there he is. Need eight, got nine. The BPA matters. You have to create what isn't there, what isn't schemable, what isn't obvious. And when you got to break glass in case of emergency two, three times in a game, can you do it? That separates good and great. So, David, Justin Herbert over the break. Rico says not a top 10 QB. What do the people say? And you said Kenny's got a very, he's very opinionated.
Yeah, I got something on this. Just for criteria. So how many quarterbacks do we have so far solidified 100% top 10?
Okay. Mahomes, yep. Allen, Lamar, Burrow are what we consider the standard bearers.
And then you want to throw Hurts in there, call it five.
Hurts, Daniels, Stafford is what we have on the list right now as top 10, and no one is called to fight us.
So that means you would have to have three quarterbacks to bump Herbert out of this spot, right?
Correct.
I can't name three I can name a couple that you could argue, but I can't argue that there's three other quarterbacks. You used the word elite earlier in this segment. You said elite qualities, elite traits.
Yeah.
Once you exit the top four or top five, the word elite is lost. you have to use very, very good. Okay. Because outside of that, do I consider Justin Herbert elite? No, but he's very, very good, I think.
How about this?
Do I consider Baker Mayfield elite? No, but he's good. Do I consider, you know, Jared Goff elite? No, but he's good.
Wait, what just happened back there?
I'm sorry. I didn't know that play.
David was previewing something for the drops tournament. I guess it came over the
okay.
air. He wants his steak medium well.
But, Kenny, here's what I would say. For instance, I would put Justin Herbert over Jalen Hurts.
Yes, I agree.
That's my personal
opinion. I would
put
him in the same air as Matthew Stafford, probably over Matthew
right.
Stafford.
My
actually.
Point is, I feel like Justin Herbert, everything's been put on him. Hurts gets the joy of the cheating tush push.
Yes.
The
yes.
best O-line, the best receivers. And look at the data. This is just my opinion. The data for me is, if Hurts is on the list, well, then a guy who's been asked to throw it 800 times a year, Hurts, when they asked him to throw it, couldn't.
So
they had to cut 200 passes off in order for him to get that team to a Super Bowl. Look, I okay. like Hurts.
Did they cut the passes off, Mike, or did you just give him an MVP running back who can just carry the ball?
That's
a
potato,
lot.
Potato. They knew they had to do it. They saw what 583 pass attempts looked like and went, we don't want that. He's still in the top 10. I'm making the point that if Hurts is there, Herbert has to be there. What are the votes?
No on Herbert. If you think Herbert and even Stafford at this point in his career is better than Goff, you need to put the pipe down. Yes for Herbert. Time frame, mechanics, abilities, all are great. That is from Chris.
Okay.
Justin Herbert, yes, he should be top 10, but just barely.
Okay.
Someone else says, debating whether or not Herbert is top 10 is going to look really silly in a few years. Yes, he's undoubtedly top 10.
Okay, time out. Time out there.
I don't really care.
Time out, Captain Stubing. Here's the deal. It's not about a few years. About right now.
Right.
Now, I'm saying he is, and I don't think there's any pipe to put down. Just carry on.
Herbert doesn't belong in the top 10. Someone texts in and says, Herbert has all the tools, but hasn't put it together. Not top 10. That is from Tom.
Well, that's not really the case when you factor in he's been asked to throw more.
You know what? And yes, you're right. He's been asked to throw more, Mike, and upon further review, I will be willing to lay down the sword, and I will allow Mr. Herbert into the top 10.
All right.
I want you to go to the back.
So VAR has concluded that he is in the top 10. Yeah.
Don't get comfortable. You're on the waiting list. You may get outed.
Okay.
But for right now, you're in.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Here are the rest of the quarterbacks, and you get to pick two. And it will begin Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and then a gaggle of quarterbacks. Now, I'm not going to go through the also receiving votes. That will be a caller-driven thing. If you feel like your player is not represented, make the case. But Goff, Baker Mayfield, C.J. Stroud, you could throw in...
Love.
Jordan Love. Look, here's your issue with Goff. Let's use the criteria. Does he drive the bus or does the bus drive him? It's clearly B. Now, he's played Pro Bowl caliber football. He's been a good player here. But the supporting cast, I'd argue he's the most insulated quarterback in football. True or false?
True.
Is he good when it breaks down? All jokes about mobile Goff season aside. Is he good outside the structure of the play? I would say no.
Correct.
Now, does he process really well? Yes. Does he identify coverages early, know where he's going with the football? Yes. Doesn't have the BPA.
And I think the offense outweighs him.
Okay, so let me read what they say about him. All right?
They say.
Okay. Quote, he's developed in one of the game's best pure passers. That's an NFC defensive coach. He doesn't turn the ball over like he used to. He's reliable with a real arm. He's not just a drop back passer who makes bleep happen. He's become more than that. Goff ranks second in the NFL in yards per attempt, 8.6, and he threw for the second most yards in the league, 46.29. He was good on play action, completing 75% of his passes, and he led the NFL in that category. Coming from an air raid offense at Cal, Goff entered the league as a rhythm and timing thrower. He struggled when pass rushers disrupted his timing. He's countered that. Quote, he's improved in his ability to reset his feet and deliver the ball accurately, and it's changed his career. That's an AFC scout. The coaching staff in Detroit gave him a greater sense of calm in the pocket. Goff's success has come with two of the game's best play callers. See, this is where I'm at. McVay and Ben Johnson. He's got to prove he can do it without him. And the adaptability of his career suggests he could be up to the challenge. Look, Goff, when he plays well, is a top 10 QB. And when he doesn't, Goff's subpar is well outside the top 10. He's a fascinating case study. I think he is the most hotly debated name. Because here's the thing. How many, and I want you guys to think about this before you yell and scream and go nuts. How many quarterbacks could I put with the Lions that could have given you the very same thing the last 2 years? I'm asking. Because Ben Johnson, I know the morning show thinks he's been lobotomized now that he's not here. Ben Johnson is arguably the best OC in football. He was coveted, and he worked wonders here.
He was coveted for years.
So, how many QBs could you put in Detroit and you would have blown a 17-point lead in the NFC title game or gotten housed by a rookie and turning it over five times? How many quarterbacks could have offered you that? I'm asking.
This is going to be a great exercise.
That's why we're doing it. It's the symposium. And guess what? I got five lines wide open if you want them. Let's have the Goff conversation. Does he belong on this list? 248-539-9797. Rico, I think of any quarterback we have talked about, more cases can be made both ways for Goff than anybody else.
I'm glad we put the criteria out there. So it's not just, well, you know, hey, this was the four things that we came up with.
Greater than the quarterback or the supporting cast he has. Can you win a Super Bowl with this player? And BPA, big play ability. 248-539-9797. And ticket texters, don't feel left out. Get involved on the Goff thing. Because you got to answer the question if you call or if you text. How many quarterbacks could be the quarterback at Alliance and give you exactly what Goff gave you the last couple of years? And mind you, I'm a Goff supporter. I never wanted him replaced with Hendon Hooker like other people. Nope. But I'm also not obtuse to the fact he's fringy top 10. Let's get into it next, okay? Now you better buckle up.
All right.
97.1.
I want to get this Goff stuff in because we've been teasing it, and tis the season, right? This is list season. This is the all-star break in baseball, the anticipation of the NFL right around the corner. ESPN does this with execs, coaches, and scouts. They don't just have Stephen A. Smith rank them.
Right.
They talk to people in the game. And I would normally do a list in descending order. You go 10 to 1.
Right.
But I'm going to do it the reverse because there's no drama at the top. Patrick Mahomes is once again the number one quarterback in the
NFL.
No
surprise there.
Number two is Josh Allen. He's the league MVP. No one's going to fight about that. Number three may raise an eyebrow. It's not Lamar. It's Joe Burrow. I think they got this right, but that's 3 and 4.
I would put Lamar at 4.
Okay.
And simply because I know he hasn't won in the postseason. Joe Burrow has been to a Super Bowl, but his team hasn't been in the playoffs the last 2 years. And they've started off slow each of the last 2 years, haven't been able to recover. If we're sitting there giving Lamar a hard time about not winning in the postseason, at least he's won in the regular season. And he is a 2-time MVP.
Number 5 is Jaden Daniels, which feels premature after one very spectacular rookie season. To have him 5, that was the first big issue to me. Number 6 was Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's
Super Bowl champ, but this is not his peak anymore.
Right.
Number 7, Mr. Overrated and Underrated himself, Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Are you conflicted on where he is at 7?
I think 7's a little high. Number 8 is...
Oh, but if they put him at 9, he's a little low.
They bump him up to 8. Jared Goff is number 8. Number 9 is Jalen Hurts, and number 10 is Baker Mayfield. Jalen Hurts at 9 is actually the biggest disrespect to me. Goff, I think you could push him up a spot. I'd have him at – we've talked about this – back end of the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, and so you're splitting hairs if you're saying at 7 or at 8 or at 9 because you're all in the same tier of quarterback. I have the same issue as well. Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl.
Ben to 2 outplayed Mahomes in the first and just won in his second Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of pushback. I had this pushback early in the season last year, his turnovers at the beginning of the season. Yeah. He was costing his team. But he was the quarterback of a team that found a way to be hot at the right time at the end of the season. They got better throughout the course of the season, and a part of that was because Jalen Hurts got better throughout the course of the season, protected the ball better when it mattered most. What cost Jared Goff?
I was just going to say, if I'm an Eagles fan, I go, why is he behind Goff? You want to argue, oh, Hurts is a product of a great O-line and a run game. Spider-Man,
great
baby.
O-line,
look in the mirror, and the difference would be Hurts didn't turn the ball over in the playoffs and did win in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I would bump up Hurts to 9. From 9 to 8. Sorry, 9 to 7. Mm-hmm. I would keep Goff where he's at. I would move Justin Herbert back.
Would you have him in the top 10, Herbert?
Number 10 is Baker Mayfield. You start to drop off a little bit at that point.
The others receiving votes were Stroud, Love, Murray, Purdy, and Dak.
And you're talking about guys that have all been very inconsistent.
Yeah, Herbert's
more
probably
inconsistent.
In that group.
Yeah, I think Herbert's in that group. So, I would probably keep Goff where he's. And it's not a sign of disrespect. You're top 10 quarterback. And I know everybody says, well, you can't win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Well, let me know if any of those guys that are ahead of him are available.
Okay, right. So play
so
that
you're not,
game.
You're not upgrading your quarterback.
We'd have Hurts ahead of him. You're not getting Hurts. Stafford famously traded for one another.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels unavailable. And Daniels came here and outplayed Goff, so it's a little prisoner of the moment, but that's part of why he's there. You're not getting Lamar. You're not getting Burrow. You're not getting Allen. You're not getting Mahomes.
Yeah, and you got to put Jaden Daniels somewhere, right? And he did beat Jared Goff, head-to-head last year. They did make it to the NFC Championship game. So, I want to see it done. 2 years in a row, they've improved their offensive line with Laremy Tunsil. They've got some issues going on right now with contract situation. They did sign Debo Samuel. What he's got left in the tank, who knows?
Yeah.
But they're doing the things that they've got to do to support Jaden Daniels to give him the opportunity to have a good second year.
As I'm looking through this, I think I would have Goff at 8. It would just be a different 8. I'd have Hurts flipped with Herbert.
Right.
And the only guys ahead of –
what makes this interesting is that this is not a media personality that's putting this together.
No.
You mentioned it's not Stephen A. Smith screaming
at us. It's not McAfee going, with the cutoff T-shirts.
No, this is coaches. This is personnel department. This is individuals in the know that are evaluating every single player every single week. They put him as number 8. I think they got it right. I think he has a chance to play himself up. But then that's just a matter of Go out there and win your team a Super Bowl. Be big in the biggest moments. And he had in 2 years ago, he was big in big moments. He was big in that San Francisco NFC Championship game, put the ball where it needed to be.
How about the Rams game, the first playoff game at Ford Field, where he thread the needle to Sam Laporta in the red zone?
Yeah.
I mean, big-time throws to get them there.
So it really just is a matter of you've got to go out there, you got to win the big one, and make it happen when it matters most.
Yeah, and you can't have the turnover fest that we watched last year at Ford Field. Look, they call him one of the game's best pure passers, an NFC defensive coach had to say, probably one that had to face him a year ago.
Yes.
Let's get to the phones. We got Greg waiting. You're on 97.1.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are making me lose my mind. Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback. What quarterback? Jared Goff was short points from having an undefeated season. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions and still won the game. Even in the last game that Jared Goff played, he still threw for 500 yards and still scored 31 points. Jared Goff had me convinced that finally what everybody's been telling me, that defense wins championships. But with Jared Goff, with the losing to San Francisco, up to that point, it was offense wins championships with Jared Goff. And it wasn't Jared Goff's fault that we didn't execute those last plays, and I'm not going to open up that scab. No, Jared Goff is a top 5 tier quarterback. He is. I mean, when playing against
Greg,
I'm sorry.
You can't wet yourself as a 10-point favorite at home with 4 turnovers in the playoffs and flap the gums that way. You just can't.
Was he scoring 31 points and 500 yards? Somebody's going to help
turnovers.
Me out.
That's not winning football. He laid an egg in the playoffs.
500 yards and 31 points is winning an egg?
He had 313 yards. I don't know where you're getting 500 from. But even if I spotted him at 200 more garbage time yards, they were getting blown out because he couldn't take care of the football.
And you're going to put him ahead of Jaden Daniels?
You're going to put him ahead of Jalen Hurts.
I said top five. He's in the top five. So whoever you want to put there four.
You name the four ahead of him, and we'll tell you if you're missing somebody.
Okay. Definitely Patrick Mahomes, number one. I would say Lamar, but when it's crunch time, he's nowhere around. All that hype all through the season, but when it's crunch time, when it's time for the rubber ring, he's nowhere around. So I don't put him.
Kind of like Goff in the playoff game.
No, you got. But at least he has. Lamar Jackson has some defensive help. Derek Goff never has defense help. He's the offense and the defense.
Okay, so I don't want to get hung up on this. Just give me four names, Greg. Just give me four names.
Okay.
Four names that are
right, Buffalo. I would say the Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Yep, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
I'll help you out. Joe Burrow.
No.
Jalen Hurts, who just delivered in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts for sure. I'll give him that. But 2 minutes on the clock, I won't care Goff. 2 minutes on the clock, I won't care Goff.
Okay. I mean, maybe – okay. Greg, I appreciate the phone call. I don't agree with anything you just said.
No, but that's what makes this great is you can't have a debate. I don't know that there's a debate right now going into the season that he's a top five quarterback, but he doesn't need to be a top five quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
No, he does not.
I mean, there's been a lot of top five quarterbacks that haven't won a Super Bowl. I wouldn't put Jalen Hurts necessarily in the top five, and he's the Super Bowl champ.
All right, welcome back to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and Kang with you, taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. We're talking about the Lions here in the first hour. News last night, good news for the Lions, that they have agreed to terms to the second-round pick, Tate Ratledge. He's the last pick that needed to sign. He has signed, and it's great news because they need him getting every rep in practice that he can get because he's likely to start either at guard or at center. And we also mentioned that, unfortunately, the first PUP list came out, and on the physically unable to perform list was Taylor Decker, which I think was a bit of a surprise. The offensive tackle, the left tackle on this team, though I'm not freaking out about it because guys that are put on the PUP list, they can come off the PUP list at any time during training camp. It's the reserve PUP list is the one that you get nervous about. And there is a player on that list that is a complete surprise, and we'll get to that coming up in a second. But I was asking the question about the confidence level that you have in the offense to not take a big precipitous drop in offensive production, despite the fact that there's a new offensive coordinator and they've got shuffling in the middle three offensive linemen on this team, and that Frank Ragnow is retired. And where is your confidence level in this offense to maintain the offensive production integrity level that we've seen for the last few years where this team has just been an unstoppable juggernaut offensively? Kang, where's your confidence level in the offensive line and specifically the offense as a whole going into training camp?
You know, obviously I'd feel a lot better if they had brought back Ben Johnson and Frank Ragnow didn't retire. But with that being said, every time I kind of doubt this team, they always prove me wrong. And that's a good thing, by the way, because something goes wrong like last year with all the injuries. Somehow, some way, they won 15 games, and it got to the point where we expected to win every week, even with the injuries, right? And that's why the Commanders' playoff loss was so devastating. We just didn't expect it. But when you look back at it, this was kind of like always a real possibility with all the injuries. So as far as the offense, I don't want to doubt them too much. I don't feel as strongly as, you know, I would have had those other guys come back. But what they do have coming back is Dan Campbell, who you've mentioned many times, is kind of like a guy who started the change with the offense in this team, but, you know, demoting Anthony Lynn and just taking the reins, calling the plays to start off with and things like that. And they do have Hank Fraley coming back, who has been promoted from the offensive line coach to the run game coordinator. And he took interviews this offseason to be other teams' offensive coordinator. So I think he's thought of highly in this league, and he might get a job soon somewhere else. But right now he's with the Lions, and I think that continuity there helps the offensive line. Now, losing Frank Ragnow was huge. They kind of knew this was a possibility. They draft Tate Ratledge. It's going to take some practice, some preseason, maybe a couple of regular season games, maybe to get him rolling. Hopefully it doesn't take that long, but there's going to be some time, and you know that for that whole offense of the gel, right, Gator?
Yeah.
But what won't take time is Goff has been here. That's another guy's coming back. The weapons in St. Brown, I expect J-Mo to take another step. Jahmyr Gibbs, as great as he was last year as the lead back, I think he has even more room to grow, which is scary for the rest of the league, right? A healthy Monty at the end of the year. So with all that being put together, I'm still pretty confident in this offense. I think this is where this team, they excel in how they win their games is through the offense. Of course, you need a defense, but this team's built around the offense and Jared Goff. So I still feel good, Gator.
Yeah, and we like to do things on a scale, and it's not a 1 to 10 scale on the Carson Anderson program. We do a 1 to 12 scale on the Carson Anderson program. And 12 being you have not one concern in the world. You expect this team to be just as good offensively, if not better, than what they were a year ago. And 1 would be full-on panic mode. Oh, my God, I don't know what to do. And I'm going to run for the hills and probably bury my head in the sand all season long and wake me up after the season. My level, I'm kind of like a 9 on a scale of 1 to 12 with this offense. I'm pretty confident that they're going to be just fine, but I'll leave some room for doubt because of the changes. And I think the biggest change for me is just going to be the offensive line taking some time to gel before it's a formidable offensive line again. We don't know for 100% that who the center is going to be. But I feel pretty good either way, really. I mean, if it's going to be Ratledge, that means they show all the confidence in the world in him. And if it is Ratledge, because I've seen Glasgow play center, and I think Glasgow did a fine job at center for the Lions over the years when he's had to back up for Ragnow. If they're going to go with Ratledge, it means they think he's going to be better. So great. Okay. And then You keep Glasgow at right guard and Mahogany at left guard. Okay, let's go. I'm kind of a 9. What if you had to put it 1 to 12? What number would you be?
Yeah, 12 if everyone came back. I'm about slightly below you, 8.5.
Okay,
you know what I mean. So 8.5, not far off. But yeah, all the reasons I just mentioned, of course. But you can't ignore the fact they lost Ben Johnson. You can't ignore the fact that Frank Ragnow's not here. We just don't really know for sure what's going to happen with the offensive line. I feel good that Hank Fraley's back, but a rookie at center. I think Glasgow didn't have his best year last year. I thought Mahogany was a dog, though. I have confidence in him to come in and fill out one of those guard positions. And we won't mention injuries because that is the ultimate X factor. Right. But assuming everyone stays relatively healthy, I got 8.5, 8 for my confidence level on the offense being what it's supposed to be.
248-539-9797, same number to text us as well as we go to the people and start to hear where your concerns are or what your confidence level is. We go to scale 1 to 12, what's your confidence level in this offense being able to just hum along and be the offense that they've been in the past. We'll start with Charles and Grand Blake. Charles, welcome to 97 on the Ticket. Hey, Charles.
Hey, my confidence level, I would say, is about a 7. I think that last year was, in terms of, like, the Lions as a whole, like, a historic year for our offense. And I don't think that we could play a lot better. And I think we massively overachieved, which I am ecstatic about. I mean, I'm really happy with how we played. But I just don't see us playing the same way. And the guys that, you know, are gone, obviously. And we got a little help, but I'm not sure. And that puts a lot more, because we didn't bolster the defensive line, that's putting even more pressure on the offense and the offensive line. So those are the two areas, offensive and defensive line, that I have not huge concerns. I actually do have huge concerns about our defense, but
well, we're just focusing on the offensive line part right now, but I can understand whether there'd be concerns about the defensive line, and that's part of the we'll get to that in a moment here. But with the offensive line, so right now you're at a 7 out of 12, so you have concerns, and I think they're fair concerns. I'm not, and thanks for the call, Charles. I'm not gonna blow smoke up your channel. There's legitimate reasons to say I'm not sure if it's gonna be exactly like what we've seen in the past. You got different personnel, first of all, which is going to change things. You've got a rookie who's going to start somewhere on that line. And yeah, it's going to take a while before he's used to playing in the NFL. Hopefully
he matures along rather quickly, and this offense is going to be fine. Because I think in large part, people expect that the defense is going to take some time because they're not 100% sure that Hutchinson is going to be able to go full bore right away and be the impact player he was last year, that they expect him to be that from game one. I get that. You've got other players on defense that are going to be slow to come back from injury, like Ali McNeil. It's going to take a while. You've got other players that, we don't know if Marcus Davenport can stay healthy as the other defensive end. We don't know if they're going to add another defensive end, if Za'Darius Smith gets signed or not. There's lots of question marks with this team. Josh Pascal is another one of these players that's on one of the PUP lists. And then there's a big one that we'll get to coming up in 5 minutes, who is also on the PUP list. But not just the PUP list, he's on the reserve PUP list, which means he's going to miss the first four games of the regular season. And this kind of comes out of left field for Lions fans. We didn't know that this was the case, and now here it is. It's the case, and it's a concern. We're going to get to that next and let the people know what that is. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number, or same number to text. We're talking about the Lions and the offense here, what the confidence level is. We do a sliding scale from 1 to 12 on this show. So 12 being you have no fear at all that the offense is going to be humming along just like it was over the last couple of years. They'll be at the tops of the league in points scored and yards gained. Not a concern at all. And one, of course, is the complete opposite direction. I've already put it out there. I'm at a 9 out of 12 on that scale. I do think there's reason to be concerned. My biggest concern is that you're reshuffling the deck in terms of the middle and that interior of the offensive line. I'm not as concerned about the loss of the offensive coordinator. That doesn't bother me nearly as much as, okay, we're redoing the entire interior. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket.